Well, as we shared at the beginning, today we continue our series entitled A Thankful Life. And again, throughout the series, we're learning how by embracing an attitude of gratitude, we can experience greater fulfillment, greater joy, peace, and a deeper relationship with our Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus Christ. Last week, we kicked off this series by exploring how we can experience the power of a thankful life. And today we're going to be talking about being thankful during life's difficulties and tough times. And the fact is, as we all know, life can be tough. It's not always easy. Life is hard and every day is tough in its own way. However, it's also true that as Jesus' followers, we are never alone in the universe. Jesus is always with us in the midst of life's challenges and difficulties, providing grace and strength equal to our every need, for which we can always be thankful. We're never thankful for the challenges of life, but we can be thankful in the midst of them because we know we have the one who is able by our side every day. In his book, Hope is Contagious, pastor and former pro football player Ken Hutcherson shares his personal journey of facing a terminal illness. In the process of battling cancer, he heard a story that reflects how we often lose hope in the midst of our trials. Hutcherson writes in his book, "A disturbing report hit the news about a little boy in Chicago who was shot and permanently disabled in a drive-by shooting. That fact alone is awful enough, but the reporter went on to say that everyone in the neighborhood knew who the shooter was, but no one came forward to identify him. The boy's mother even acknowledged that she drove by the shooter's house every day on her way to work. But what caught Hutcherson's attention were the words of an educator from Chicago who was interviewed by the reporter. The quote went something like this. That's what happens when people lose hope, he said. You don't think things will get better, so you just give up. Hutcherson then goes on to comment on the hope we have through Jesus' presence. He says, I don't want to see anyone give up hope, especially when hope is so readily within our grasp. Whether you're walking the streets of the inner city of Chicago or sitting at your kitchen table, no tragedy can dim the hope that comes from knowing that God will walk with you through the valley and that his presence will always give you peace. So yes, every day is a tough day. Every day can be tough, so much more tough than others. Every day is full of its own set of challenges, and difficulties. Yet in the midst of life's daily obstacles, we are able to live each day with the hope, knowing that God will walk with us through the valley. And because we know that on faith, we are able to be thankful during those tough times. Thankful that God is with us and walking with us along life's narrow way. So if you have a Bible, I invite you to take hold of it and follow along as today we look at three principles from the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament that will help us to be thankful during the tough times. But first, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, let's get started. And as we begin, a little backstory or a little background, if you will, on the book of Hebrews. In the letter to the Hebrews, we find that it was written to a Jewish Christian community that both knew and experienced the toughness of life. One commentator points out that the recipients of this letter were experiencing real struggles and loneliness, and their strength had been completely sapped. Some were even tempted to abandon their faith completely. In response, the writer of Hebrews speaks like a motivational speaker at a sporting event. His concern is to help the Hebrews deal with this game of life as it actually is, even though there is no clear-cut playbook or explanation of the game. The writer of Hebrews simply seeks to urge his audience on, encouraging them to be thankful during the tough times and to trust in God's grace. So let's take a look now at these three principles from God's Word. Here's principle number one, team up. Principle number one, team up. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, we read this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, someone once said that whenever you read therefore in the Bible, you have to find out what it's there for. And the therefore here serves as a bridge between Hebrews chapter 11 and Hebrews chapter 12. In chapter 11, we have the Hall of Fame of Faith. All these great people the Bible are identified and listed in Hebrews chapter 11. So when the author of Hebrews says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, he's referring to this great list of the faithful who've gone on before us in biblical history. However, I want to switch this verse up a little bit this morning and take a look at it from a different angle. Instead of thinking of the saints who've gone on before us, I want to use this passage as a reminder of the great cloud of witnesses that surround us today. You and me, the body of Christ, the church, the Urbana United Methodist Church. One of the ways that we can be thankful during the tough times and trust God's grace is to team up together. In other words, remember, we need one another. You see, when life gets tough, God did not intend for us to handle our burdens, our challenges, our obstacles all on our own. God created us for fellowship, for community, so we could reach out and help one another through life's challenges and difficulties. As Solomon reminds us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, he says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Bottom line, God created us for community. God created us to need one another. We need each other. There's no such thing as lone rangers in the community of faith. And over the 38 years that my wife Tammy and I have been married, there have really only been three really kind of traumatic or challenging times in our life. The first was when Tammy had a miscarriage between our older son and our younger son. And the second was when our younger son, Josh, was not even 2 years old, and he had some bad blood reports, and they thought he had leukemia. We were at Children's Hospital in Columbus until they figured out, well, it was just an ordinary virus, and so they just had to give him some red blood cells, and boom, he was back to normal. So that was the second time. The third time is happening right now. My wife Tammy had double knee replacement surgery this past week, is now home doing exceptionally well, recuperating and rehabbing. But during these very difficult and tough times in our lives, I don't know what we would have done without the church, the family of God. We've had such great and wonderful support and help. It's just been outstanding. God worked and is working through the body of Christ, the people of God, all of you, to help us to be thankful during our tough times and to trust in God's grace alone. As a result, we found ourselves constantly offering prayers of thanksgiving because we teamed up with the family of God. We teamed up with our church family. And what was true with us will also be true with you. Therefore, we all need to team up and get connected with the body of Christ. This morning, we acknowledged our commitment to becoming a Stephen Ministry congregation and commissioned our Stephen leaders, Nita Bauer and Gene Wilson. The Stephen Ministry motto is this. I think this is an awesome motto. The motto is simple. It's Christ caring for people through people. Christ caring for people through people. And through our Stephen ministry here in Havana Church, we will be equipping and empowering lay caregivers called Stephen ministers to provide high-quality, confidential, Christ-centered care to those in need. So Stephen ministry is a way we can team up and help one another be thankful during those tough times and trust in God's grace as we offer tangible ways to share the love, help, and hope of Jesus Christ with one another. So if you're sitting here this morning and feel a calling to care for others who are hurting and walk with others during their tough times, if you desire the personal joy that comes from sharing the love of Jesus with people, then serving as a Stephen minister may be where God is directing you at this season of your life. So after the first of the year, as we move into 2019, our Stephen leaders, Nita Bauer and Gene Wilson, will begin training persons from our congregation to serve as Stephen ministers. So if you're interested in learning more, take out your connection card. It's in your bulletin, and on the back, there's a little red box, and it says, "Tell me more about Stephen Ministries," and there's a couple of different options there. If this is something you're interested in, curious about, check the box, check whatever box is appropriate for you, fill it out, and then when the offering plates are passed this morning, be sure to pull that connection card off and place it in the offering place to indicate your interest to be a part of this. Then Anita Bauer and Gene Wilson will follow up with folks to answer your questions and to tell you more about the training that will begin after the first of the year. So this is one way we can be thankful during tough times and trust God's grace, and that is to team up and reach out to one another. So that's principle number one. Here's principle number two, and that is to tread persistently. Tread persistently. Towards the end of Hebrews 12, verse 1, we read this. It says, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." The fact is, God didn't just call us to start the race of faith. God didn't call us to just begin this noble task or a noble relationship with our Heavenly Father. God called us to both start the race and finish the race strong. "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us," says the author of Hebrews. And if you think about it, you know, the start of a race, it is an awesome thing. Runners in a marathon are feeling strong, you know, and energetic at the beginning. They've done the right training for years. They've followed the scientific plan prescribing what to eat and how much to rest. They're strong. They're ready. They're like rabbits at the start of a race. Then the gun sounds and the crowd goes wild. The crowd starts cheering. The runners take off. There's electricity in the air. Runners at the beginning of a race always feel awesome. They feel like $1 million. But when they get to about the 16th mile marker, not that I've ever run a marathon or anything, but I'm told at mile 16, things become a whole lot different. At the 16-mile marker, marathon runners get blisters on their feet and feel like there's a knife being jabbed in their side. Their legs are turning to oatmeal, and their muscles are screaming from the pain. At this point, the race is a completely different experience. At the beginning, elation. Mile marker 16, pain, discomfort. And sometimes in life, as we're running the race marked out for us, we too can hit that critical moment when pain is involved. We may even say, this hurts, so it must not be God's desire or God's will. But do we see the fallacy of that statement? Pain does not mean it's no longer God's will. Sometimes the race God calls us to run will be filled with pain and discomfort. When that's the case, God wants us to tread persistently, to keep on running the race and to run through the pain. Remember, God has not only called us to start strong in the race of life, but He's called us to finish well. One more thing. Have you ever noticed that world-class runners have what's called a strong kick at the end? A kick is what runners do when they get to, you know, that last 100 yards or so. And when they see that finish line coming, they start sprinting to the end so that they end having put in everything they've got. No matter how much they've run before, when they get to that last leg, they give it all they have to the finish. Likewise, God wants you and me to have a great kick. No matter what our circumstance, God wants us to tread persistently and give it all we have through the finish line. The other day, I read a study of all the leaders found in or recorded in the Bible. One of the most alarming characteristics in that study was that most of them finished poorly. Not that they all fell into immorality or some other embarrassing thing, but they did not finish with the same fervor with which they started. One of the defining factors of great leadership is finishing strong. That is equally true of the Christian life. Can we finish every ministry, every relationship that God gives us, not just limping in, but strong, with a kick that brings glory to our Heavenly Father? Some of us may remember the movie Chariots of Fire that came out several years ago. The movie was based on the true story of Eric Liddell, a man who ran for Scotland and then went on to be a Christian missionary. In one scene in the movie, Little was running in a meet between England, Scotland, and Ireland. He ran the 100, 200, and 400-meter events. In the 400-meter, he got off to a terrible start. When the gun sounded, there was a lot of shoving to get to the inside lane, that advantageous position. Little tangled feet with J.J. Gillies of England and tumbled onto the track. He sat there dazed for a moment, not knowing whether he could get up, when the official screamed at him and said, "Get up! Get up, Little! Get up and run!" He jumped to his feet and took off down the track. The pack now was about 20 yards ahead of him. Now, in a quarter-mile race, that's a big distance to try and make up. He took off after the pack. He pulled into fourth place, 10 yards behind the leader, J.J. Gillies. With 40 yards to go, he pulled into third place, then second. Right at the tape, he passed Gillies, stuck out his chest, and went across the line, won the race, and collapsed on the track, totally exhausted. Now, there's something glorious about getting up again when you've been knocked down on the track. And some of us sitting here this morning understand we've been knocked down before. Perhaps we've made some foolish decisions. Perhaps other people have done us wrong. Perhaps we've encountered a hardship that just knocked the wind right out of us. Whatever it is that's knocked us down, the fact remains, when we've fallen on the track of life, you know, it's hard. It's difficult. Whatever it looks like, however it comes our way, we can feel shame, maybe even self-pity at times. We're depressed. We may even feel like just staying on the track. But remember, the only real shame is to stay down on the track. God's word to us when we've been knocked down is to tread persistently. God says, get up and run. Forget those who have wronged you. Forget what lies behind and run forward for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We still have a race ahead of us. The author of Hebrews says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And in Philippians 1, verse 6, we read, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So when we fall on the track of life, when we encounter pain and hardship, when life hurts and we find ourselves facing a mountain seemingly too high to climb, we need to get up. We just need to get up. We need to get right back into God's calling and purpose for us. We must never, ever, ever stay down on the track. We must run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And as we continue to run for Christ's sake in the world, we will find ourselves thankful. Thankful that God has us by the hand. Thankful that God has our future. Thankful that God is giving us grace and strength equal to our every need as we keep on running that race. Thankful that in the midst of the falls, hardships, and trials of life, we know we're not alone. We have one who is able to guide, direct, pick us up, and strengthen us to keep moving through life's torments, through life's hardships, through life's pain. So one way we can be thankful during tough times and trust God's grace is to tread persistently and never, ever, ever give up. That's principle number two. And here's the third one, the last one. Stay transfixed. Stay transfixed. Stay focused. In Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3, we read this. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In these verses, the author of Hebrews reminds us that we can be thankful during the tough times and trust in God's grace by staying transfixed, by fixing our eyes on Jesus, by remembering that Jesus is with us through the valleys and that he understands what we're going through. Now check out Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. Check this out. This is awesome. It says here, for we do not have a high priest. In other words, for we do not have a Jesus. We do not have a Savior who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have Jesus. We have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Preaching Today magazine tells the story of Jamie and Cynthia Clark. Jamie and Cynthia were in the San Francisco earthquake of 1989, also known, you may remember, the World Series earthquake. The hotel where they were staying started shaking, and they both fell to the floor. Cynthia crawled across the floor to her husband, Jamie, and just climbed into his lap like a little child. Jamie was patting her on the back and saying, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. We'll be fine. It's going to be okay." Cynthia said she felt better until the thought occurred to her, "Wait a minute. This is an earthquake. He doesn't know any more about earthquakes than I do. It may not be all right." Well, she was right. Fortunately, they made it through just fine. However, that's not true with Jesus. The fact is, every time you and I go before Jesus and say, "Hey, I've got a situation, or I'm really afraid, and I don't know what to do in this particular situation," Jesus says, "I know, I understand, I've been there before. I understand, I've been there before." You see, Jesus came not just to keep us from being lonely, but to be lonely as we are lonely. Not just to keep us from being afraid, but to be afraid as we are afraid. Not just to keep us from suffering, but to suffer as we must suffer. The late Carl Marney, a Baptist pastor from North Carolina, once told how on the plaster of an unfinished men's restroom, someone had written the words, "God has cancer. God has cancer." And the fact is, God has had cancer for a long, long time. That's what Christmas, that's what the incarnation, Jesus coming into our world is all about. Jesus entered our world, our time and space, so that he might walk our dirty roads just as we must, get sick as we must, suffer as we must, encounter loneliness as we must, and be tempted as we must. Bottom line, whatever we find ourselves facing, whatever trial, whatever hardship, whatever difficulty life throws in our direction, remember, Jesus gets it. He understands. He's been there before. We can't say to Jesus, oh, you don't understand what I'm going through. He understands, and then some, because he's encountered a whole lot more than we ever will. And when we realize that, we will find ourselves crying out songs of praise and thanksgiving as we realize that God's got this. God's got this. God understands. Jesus has been there before. He gets it. And he truly can walk with us because he knows what we're going through. So one way we can be thankful during tough times and trust God's grace is to stay focused, stay transfixed, to stay focused on the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ever ask or imagine by reaching out to Jesus who, remember, endured such opposition from sinful men so that we will not grow weary or lose heart. That's principle number three. So how are we able to be thankful during tough times? By following these three principles found in the letter to the Hebrews, found in God's word. And these aren't just like you do one or you do two or you do three. No, you got to do them all together. You see, when we team up as the body of Christ, when we rely on one another as God in Christ calls us to do so, as we become a part of the family of God, as we reach out and team up, then we find ourselves able to tread persistently. And while we're treading persistently as we team up, we find ourselves able to stay focused, to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith. You see, we got to do all three. If we don't team up, we're not going to be able to tread persistently or stay transfixed. It starts with teaming up. And as we do that, we can persevere and we can stay focused on the one who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ever ask or imagine. That's the secret. That's the secret. Team up leads to perseverance, which allows us to always remember who's in charge. Fix our eyes upon Jesus, the one who understands. He's been there. So let's turn to him and see him realized through the body of Christ, this church. Will you bow your heads as I pray for us this morning? Heavenly Father, today we have so much to be thankful for. Lord, even in the midst of tough times, we have a lot to be thankful. And Father, most of all, we're thankful for your love, for your presence, for your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you that Jesus understands what we're going through and what we deal with from day to day. We thank you that Jesus overcame the problems of this world and that in him we have the strength and the power to overcome the problems that we face as well. Father, we thank you today that Jesus died on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven. We thank you that he took our place. And God, we thank you that Jesus overcame death when he rose from the grave so that we can have a home in heaven with you forever. And if we're here today and have never put our trust in Jesus to forgive us of our sins, then may today be our day. So right now in this moment, we can just say, Lord, here I am. I'm all yours. Come and make me the person you want me to be. I want to follow you. Amen. And now, Heavenly Father, we again say thank you. Thank you for all that you are. Thank you that you are in control, even when the world seems out of control. Thank you for our church, for the support that we give and receive here in this place every week. And Father, help us to learn to be thankful, no matter what we face. Help us to be thankful in everything, even in the tough times, because we know you are with us, that you've got this, that you understand, that you've been there before us. In Jesus' name, we pray.